Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. I really appreciate that. It's such a good worship mode to put us in. I was talking to my grandchildren just this late afternoon, how God gave us appreciation for music. And one of them said that God created music, and I said, well, He gave us the appreciation in our souls for it. And, my granddaughter is learning to play the saxophone. And she was playing, and we just started talking about music. She started off with a flute, and we all just went, bleh. And only boys play saxophone. So I went on the internet, and I found a women's saxophone deal, and it gave about, I don't know, maybe like 40 seconds of about 30 different female saxophone players. Just came up like that. I wasn't even looking for something that good. And it did. So she, okay. And so she started playing. She's playing now.
Does she like it though?
Well, I asked her today. I said, well, now do you enjoy playing the saxophone or learning to play the saxophone as over a flute? She said, yeah. That's good. Do what?
Jethro Tull played the flute. That was her main instrument.
You're right. Yeah, about that.
Jethro Tull's a rock band.
Yeah.
I have no idea who he is.
Someone our age.
Did you know?
I just went, okay.
Probably the three of you.
You know who Jethro is?
Oh, yeah. He's a cool dude, man.
What's your West Coast?
See?
Makes four of us, so we guys kind of,
From the
Hillbilly
League.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has his own form of music.
It's a good deal.
Okay, let's turn to Revelation 20. And get into our study of where does your body go when you die? And where does your soul go when you die? What determines where you go? How long will you be at each place?
I thought we were past this way already.
Well, Jim told me I hadn't taught this in a long, long time. In fact, not since he's been here, so I thought we need to spend a little time.
Jim Langston?
Langston. Revelation 1, 20, verse 1, has the abyss. Verse 3 has the abyss, you recall. And so they both have Hades. Revelation 1, 18, 6, 8. So these are words that are used throughout Scripture, and we'll take them up in their proper place. But first of all, let's talk about prayer and effective prayer and our prayer list. We need to be in prayer for Tish. She's trying some new specialists, and they were not pleased with her condition. I mean, they of all of them, I think these were the most alarmed ones. They just went, wow, wait a minute. This is serious stuff. And that's good. That's good sign.
That's good, yeah.
When somebody just doesn't say, oh, well, we can fix that. Yeah. And it's about time a doctor says it rather than, oh, yeah, we can do that, fix that. These were very concerned with it, and I like that. And so she's in a serious condition with this cancer. So we need to be in prayer for Tish. I don't know if you know, but her father died of melanoma. And so their family is subject to it. So we need to be in prayer for Tish. And let's see, who else do we need to be in prayer? We need to be in prayer for Molly, Kit's sister, and Alicia. We need to be in prayer for Jim Passmore. We need to be in prayer. I'm sorry?
That's right. He does need prayer. She has a cold.
Bad cold.
Wow.
All right. In prayer.
Jim only has one head up.
Anyway, we need to be in prayer for our friend Sharon, who's fighting death cancer right now. Let's see, I guess that's... Need to be in prayer for the Risleys. They're really fighting a lot of economic problems in Mexico. Not just themselves, or put it this way, not just those they minister to, but even they themselves. So, we need to be in prayer. Talk to John, who again will be here Sunday again. And he said they tripled the cost of lard. And they still cook with that down there. And flour, all these things, and sugar. What did sugar do? It more than tripled the price of sugar. And so what the government's done is taxing where down there where the very staples of what people live on down there. So need to be in prayer for Cindy and her family. Is Sharon okay tonight?
She's okay. She's with Nathan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. We'll be in prayer for them. Okay, let's begin with the word of...
Also Romeo and his
family. Yeah. Yeah. Romeo and his family. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer and get to work on our study. There's no culture, no society that hasn't dealt with the issue of what happens to us when we die. And this is, goes back to ancient history. Various heathenistic practices are put into play. Heavenly Father, we realize this, the ancient pyramids with all of the wealth for the Pharaoh, for his next world. So this is something that man has dealt with. Just by nature of our being, separated from animals. Animals don't give this concern, but we do. What a joy it is, Father, and what peace we have in our soul that you have let us know what happens to us when we die. Where our soul goes and where our body goes and what's going to happen next. And we praise you for that. Now, Father, we pray that you will guide us through our study tonight. See the things you would have us to see and learn the things you'd have us to learn, Father. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're in introduction. We ended last week with point three. So let's just go into introduction. Major point one is introduction. Subpoint one, the Hebrew word Sheol, S-H-E-O-L, originally meant in post-biblical Hebrew, the deep parts. It meant the sea, the deep parts of the deep. Sheol and the Greek word Hades are used to refer to any place that is subterranean and a very large space. In other words, Hades, many people think Hades is hell. Hell is where people in the Old Testament go to burn and all that. Wrong. Hades is a word used for this whole place that were the in the subterranean world. Two, both Sheol and Hades are mistranslated in the King James, hell. Not in the New American Standard, not in the NIV, but in the King James, which of course only adds to the confusion. Three, Hades is used from classical times and before for the underworld and the realm of the dead. That brings us to point four. Now, we didn't do point four last week, did we? No. We did?
Yes.
Okay. Sheol is sometimes used for the grave, as in Genesis 37, 35, 42, 38, 1 Samuel 2, 6, and other passages. Now, point five. The dying are said to go to Sheol, which is not the grave, but to the under part of the earth. This is not talking about the body. It's talking about the soul. As far back as ancient history, they knew the difference between the soul and the body. body just goes into the grave. But the dying are said to go to Sheol, which is not a grave, the underpart of the earth. This is a reference to the soul. Let's look at Numbers 16:30. Since we haven't traveled this way, let's just look at some of these things so you're familiar with them. Numbers 16:30. I'm sorry to say, and I'm not downgrading, but the Roman Catholic Church has led to a great deal of misconceptions, misunderstanding of the underworld, of Sheol and Hades. All right, number 16, verse 30. But if the Lord brings about in entirely new thing, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that is theirs, and they descend alive into Sheol, then you will understand that these men have spurned the Lord. All right? And let's look at Ezekiel 31. Ezekiel 31. Now, by no means in this study are we going to have time to look at every reference to Sheol, Hades, all these places. All right, Ezekiel 31. The reason I picked this in this chapter, there are two references. Ezekiel 31:15. 31:15. Thus says the Lord God, on the day when it went down to Sheol, I caused lamentations. I closed the deep over it and held back its rivers. The deep is the sea or the deep water. And its many waters were stopped up. And I made Lebanon mourn for it. And all the trees of the field withered away on account of it. Look at verse 17. Ezekiel 31, verse 17. They also went down with it to Sheol, to those who were slain by the sword, and those who were its strength lived under its shade among the nations. So these are just two references in dealing with the reference of the place where the soul goes. All right, point six. Prior to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all human dead went to Sheol or Hades, unbelievers and believers. Before the resurrection of Christ, all the dead, believer or unbeliever, went to Sheol or Hades. Not Sheol or Hades, just those are two names meaning the same thing. Went to Sheol or Hades. Were two compartments were designed to receive them. Old Testament believers went to paradise, or, meaning another name for that, or Abraham's bosom. Every unbeliever, his soul went to torments. Torments. Point seven. Those who are believers in the Old Testament are said to be delivered into the power of Sheol. Those who are believers in the Old Testament are said to be delivered into the power of Sheol. Let's look at Psalm 49 first. Psalm 49. Psalm 49 And we want to look at verse 16. Psalm 49, verse 16. No, that's not it. Psalm 49. Is it 14? Yes. I'm sorry, yes. And that computer just makes so many mistakes, it really is a shame. It probably does. Probably does. As sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning, and their form shall be for Sheol to consume. Now let's look at Hosea chapter 13. Hosea chapter 13. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. And I will ransom them from the power of Sheol. I will redeem them from death. O death, where are your thorns? In Paul's writings, O death, where is your sting? But here he says, O death, where are your thorns? O Sheol, where is your sting? Compassion will be hidden from my sight. Okay? These are just some of the many, many passages. Now, point eight. However, since the resurrection of Christ, Old Testament believers have all been transferred to the third heaven. As part of the triumphal procession by Jesus Christ. Since the resurrection of Christ, all Old Testament believers, Gentile or Jew, have all been transferred to the third heaven as part of the triumphant procession. Roman numeral 2 is this chart that you have in front of you. So let's just look at this chart and examine some of the things about it. This gives you an ideal of what it all looks like. Components of Sheol or Hades. All right, the top level is paradise for Old Testament believers. Empty since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then there is a great gulf fixed. A great gulf is fixed. And then the third area is called torments. All unbelievers who await the great white throne judgment are cast into and then are cast into the lake of fire. But until that time, they all go to torments. It is a place of darkness. Unbelievers are here and resurrected in the second resurrection that we studied. Big space. Just a big space. We'll look at the scripture reference, but that's what it's called, a great gulf fixed, great chasm. Alright, then the next area is torturous. This is the prison for fallen angels of Genesis 6. These are the angels that cohabitated with women of their human women on earth, and that therefore you had the supernatural being, and therefore the contamination of the human race. And what Satan's objective was, since the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior, was to come through the human race, if he could contaminate the human race, it would stop God, prevent God from keeping his word of sending the Messiah. So that was his objective. So he had the angels take the form of humans, have intercourse with the women of the earth, and they would give birth, and this was a part or a supernatural creature and part human creature. And many think this is where we get a lot of the Greek mythology and stuff from this era. But this is what that happens. Also Jude 6. And then the last place, it's the abyss. The abyss. Fallen angels are held here until the middle of the tribulation. Fallen angels are held here until the middle of the tribulation. The Abaddon, we'll come back to him, the toughest of all fallen angels next to Satan is here. I'll give you verification of all of this later. But this gives you an idea of what it looks like. So you got paradise, it's empty now. All the saints of the Old Testament, Gentile and Jew, are in heaven. Great Gulf fixed. Then there's another place called the Torments. Then there's another place called Tartarus. And then the Abyss. I don't think it's any accident or should be any surprise that we've gone way up into outer space and the moon and all this stuff, Mars and things to Mars. We haven't penetrated into the center of the earth. And we never will. This just isn't going to be done. And what would you find down there? You'd find these places of darkness. Okay. Roman numeral 3. Let's look at these four compartments. First of all, paradise. Paradise is where Old Testament believers resided after death, before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Torments is where all unbelievers reside. You can just write down Luke 16:23. Tartarus is where a certain category of angels called B'nai HaElohim in Genesis 6 reside. B'nai, capital B-E-N-I, and then the small H-A, and then Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. Thank you very much. Elohim. B'nai HaElohim in Genesis 6. This is where they reside. Then you have the abyss. Contains demons who transgress the boundaries of the human race. The abyss is the location of the demon king, Satan's right hand, called Abaddon. A-B-A-D-D-O-N. He has a prominent role in the tribulation. He is mentioned once in the New Testament. 9 times this name is referred to in the Old Testament. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. This would be a good name to have in that game we used to play. Abaddon. Okay, Hebrews 9:11. Yeah. Excuse me, Revelation. Revelation 9:11. I'm sorry to say, in that game I didn't fare out so well all the time. I was sort of embarrassed. 4 years of seminary, 30 years in the ministry, and didn't know what... Yeah. What was the one that was so... Yeah, this is funny. We haven't played that one since. All right, Revelation 9. Yeah, Revelation 9:11. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon. And in the Greek, He has the name of Apollon. So this is where he is until the middle of the tribulation. Then he is released. He breaks out of jail with the help of Satan, who has now been cast out of heaven, and starts the 3.5 years of extreme tribulation, the major tribulation. Demons, continuing the list here on the abyss. Demons indwell a man. Demons who indwell a man ask the Lord not to send them to the abyss. Demons who indwelled a man recognized who Jesus was at his authority, and they begged of him not to send them to the abyss. Let's look at Luke chapter 8 together. Luke chapter 8. Luke 8, verse 31. Luke 8, verse 31. Verse 30, and Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him, and they were entreating him, Jesus Christ, not to command them to depart into the abyss. So they did not know. They knew about the abyss, but they knew they did not want to go to the abyss. Continuing this, Abaddon, Hebrew word, and it means became last. Became last, L-A-S-T. Comma, his name means be ruined. Destroyed. It is used in the Old Testament for a synonym for the abode of the dead. It's used as a synonym for the abode of the dead. The name means destruction or place of destruction, therefore the place of the dead. Abaddon occurs in parallel, in conjunction with Sheol. Let's look as far back as the first book given to us, Job. Job 26. If you're writing it down, we're going to look at Job 26:6. I'm sorry. Job 26:6. Job 26, verse 6. Verse 5, the departed spirits tremble under the waters and their inhabitants. Naked is Sheol before him, and Abaddon has no covering. Just a wide open space for the place of the dead. It's also used in conjunction with Sheol. Abaddon is used in conjunction with Sheol in Proverbs 15. Let's look at Proverbs 15:11. Proverbs 15:11. Jim, I was talking with Judith, and I said, well, Jim Langston wanted to know all about this, and she said, it's probably going to be like Gog of Magog. That's more than he wanted to know. Okay, let's look at Proverbs and chapter 15, verse 11. Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? Of course, they know that this refers to Sheol and Abaddon, a place of the dead. So, conjunction with each other. Let's look at Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27:20. verse 27, verse 20. Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, nor are the eyes of man ever satisfied. Using the non-satisfaction of death, always looking for more and more and more. And so they're never satisfied. Sheol, to hold the name for all of this place. Abaddon, though more restricted to the evil angels that are there. Abaddon is also found in conjunction with the dead. Just with the dead. Those destroyed. Job 28:22. Let's go back to Job 28:22. First of all, Abaddon and Sheol. Now we're just looking at where he's related with death. Just one reference, Job 28:22. Now while you're turning, I'll just let you know. This is where I resisted getting way off track. I was doing research on Abaddon because I had not studied him. Got into ancient mythology, and I mean, we almost on for another 4 weeks on this, but I decided we'll just look at some passages and move on. I'll come back to Abaddon. Come back some cold night, we'll study Abaddon. Okay. This is Abaddon and his conjunction with death, Job 28:22. Abaddon and death say, with our ears we have heard a report of it. And this is the death and of God's plan. Abaddon is used in parallel with the grave. Psalm 88. Let's look at Psalm 88:12. This will be one of those wonderful nights. You can go home. Well, what did y'all study? I always study about Abaddon. Oh, that's nice. Okay. Let's look at Psalm 88, verse 12. Will thy wonders be made known in the darkness? And thy righteousness in the... Oh, wait, it's verse 11. I'm sorry. Verse 11. Well, let's start at verse 10. Will thou perform wonders for the dead? Will the departed spirits rise and praise thee? Will thy love be declared in the grave? Thy faithfulness in Abaddon. So you see, it's going to be, it talks a lot about the angels. The angels are the ones that will be in this area. Abaddon is a mystery. Hidden from the eyes of man, but known to God. You can reread Job 26:6 and Proverbs 15:11, which talk about how God knows where these are. 2x, Abaddon is personified. He is personified. First, along with the dead, he speaks. Let's look this time at Job 28. Well, we read it. Job 28:22. He speaks. Along with Sheol, insatiable. And we looked at this from Proverbs 27:30. Proverbs 27:20. He is king with Satan and leader of the underworld. Revelation 9:11, which we did look at. All right, any questions on this? Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 4. Roman numeral 4 is just some scriptural documentation for some of these things. Like, let's start off with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. Ephesians 4:9. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? Just the lower regions, that'd be another word for Hades or Sheol. He had descended to the lower parts of the earth. This is all in the center of the earth. The second reference, Job 11:7. Let's look at Job 11:7. Remember, in Job's condition, he thought a lot about death. Job 11:7. Asking the wonders of God, can you discover the depths of God? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? Well, that didn't say what. Oh, next verse, verse 8. They are high as the heavens. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol, what can you know? We don't know any of these things are there except by the Word of God, by the Holy Scriptures. Let's look at Isaiah 14:9. In seminary, we studied the scribes who would copy the Old Testament and the New Testament and all this, scribes, Masoretes. And that's why a lot of times we have problems in our manuscripts, because sometimes they would copy the same sentence again, sometimes they would copy from up here down here, and we just had fun. We'd made lousy scribes. Man, we'd have just done all kinds of horrible things with the scriptures. Okay, Isaiah 14, and we're going to look at verse 9. Sheol, from beneath, is excited over you to meet you when you come. It arouses for you the spirits of the dead, all the leaders of the earth. It raises all the kings of the nations from their thrones. In other words, all this activity. So you don't want to think of these places as just, they're this, they're hanging. There are things going on. Recognitions and all this that's going on there. One other passage, 1 Samuel 2:6. For Samuel before 1 and 2 Kings. Samuel is the king appointed. 1 Samuel 2:6. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. So these are just some of the passages where all these things are mentioned. Alright, Roman numeral 5. Paradise or Abraham's bosom. Not or like they're in contest, but the different names. Paradise or Abraham's bosom, they refer to the same thing. Subpoint 1. Paradise or Abraham's bosom is part of Sheol or Hades. This is where all Old Testament believers went immediately after death. Bodies went into the ground. Their souls went to paradise or Abraham's bosom. Once departed from their body, their soul and spirit went to paradise. 2. David wrote a Thanksgiving psalm. Wish we'd had this last week. David wrote a thanksgiving psalm regarding his deliverance from death. Psalm 116, where he states that he had died, his soul would have gone to Sheol. Let's look for a moment at Psalm 116. Psalm 116. You'll note the title of the psalm, Thanksgiving for Deliverance from Death. Verse 1, God is His grace, God in His grace has spared David, who should have died. Verse 1, I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications. He should have died. Verse 2, David's prayer has been answered, and he is thankful that he is still alive. Verse 2, because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live. Verse 3, the cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my life. Just read a little bit, verse 5, dealing with thanksgiving. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. You know, a thing I love here in a verse like this is that so many times people put righteousness in conflict with love. Righteousness, it's either righteousness or love. And all. But if you read Scripture, they're put in conjunction. Like here, righteousness is put with the compassion of God. Don't get the idea he's just this all-righteous God up there and boy, he's ready to slam dunk everybody who isn't. Verse 6. The Lord preserves the simple. That's the humble. That's a person who will just trust Him. I was brought low, and He delivered me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For Thou hast rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation, call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people. Precious, this is a verse that I usually will quote in most funerals. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. O Lord, surely I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant, the son of Thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. To Thee I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. So this is a great prayer. All right, so we're dealing with paradise in Abraham's bosom. One, paradise or Abraham's bosom is part of Sheol or Hades, where all the Old Testament saints went after they died before the resurrection of Christ. Two, David wrote thanksgiving, being delivered from death, Psalm 116. Subpoint three. Point three, in Psalm 16, 10, not 116, but let's look at Psalm 16:10. Psalm 16:10. For thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, neither wilt thou allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. A couple of things under that. First of all, notice that David makes a distinction between the grave where his body is located and Abraham's bosom, or Sheol, and I'll come to that in a moment, where his soul is located. The Old Testament believer could not go to heaven until Jesus Christ had died on the cross for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ is the first fruits. He has to be resurrected and go to heaven before anyone else, any other member of the human race. After death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Old Testament believers were all transferred in a triumphant procession into the presence of God in heaven. Now, after the cross, when any believer dies, obviously church age, any believer dies, his soul and spirit absent from the body and face to face with the Lord in heaven. After the cross, resurrection of Jesus Christ, when a believer dies, his soul and spirit is absent from the body and the face to face with the Lord. This is why people, if we're going to see, the body doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter whether it's cremated, eaten by fish, burned in a fire. It doesn't matter. We don't need it. It's nothing anymore. We get too much praise and too much money spent on the body after death. Next, for the record, in Psalm 16, David is not talking about himself. David was prophesying about Jesus Christ. Why do we know this? Because this is quoted by Peter in Acts 2. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 a moment. Peter lets us know that the Psalm 116 really referred, but David was talking about Jesus Christ. It was what we call a messianic psalm. Acts 2, verse 27. Acts 2, 27. Because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Referring to Jesus Christ. So we know that he's referring to Jesus Christ. Verse 27 is interpreted for us in verse 31. Look down at verse 31. He, that's David, he, David, looked ahead. When he wrote Psalm 116, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. Our Lord spent 3 days, 3 nights in the grave. 3 days, 3 nights, his soul went down to Hades. Paul also interprets Psalm 116. That one was Peter. Paul also interprets Psalm 116, Psalm 16:10, in Acts 13:35. So let's turn to Acts 13:35. Acts 13, verse 35. Therefore, he also says in another psalm, thou wilt not allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Again, prophesying and dealing with the person of Jesus Christ. Paul explains what this means in Acts 13, 36 to 37. So let's take a look. For David, after he had served the purpose of God, in his own generation fell asleep, and was laid among his fathers, and underwent decay. But he whom God raised did not undergo decay. So we know that David was not talking about himself, because his body will decay. But that of Jesus Christ will not decay. So we know, again, that David was talking about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Okay, question. Where in Hades did the soul of Jesus Christ go? Where in Hades did the soul of Jesus Christ go? The answer is recorded for us in Luke 23. So let's go to Luke 23. Luke 23, we will read verses 39 through 43. Luke 23, 39. And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered, and rebuking him, said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom." And he answered to him, "Truly I say to you, today, this day, you shall be with me in paradise." In paradise. Paradise, first compartment of Hades. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 9 in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 9. Verse 8. Therefore it says, "When he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Just for the record, I'm not there yet, but just to set your mind to start thinking, that is bringing out all of the saints of paradise after his resurrection, all Old Testament believers. They're called captives here. And we'll take a look at this when we get to that point. We just wanted you to see it. Verse 9. Now this expression, "He ascended," what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? This refers to our Lord's human soul, which went to paradise after his physical death. His body went into the tomb. His soul makes its trip to Hades or Sheol. And the first place he went was to paradise. Some of you may know that he went to deliver the message to fallen angels. We'll come to that. I'm just taking this in order. So his first place he went was to paradise. The soul of Jesus joins the soul of all Old Testament saints already there. Believers who had died up to that very point. Probably believers died that day. I'm sure, before he died, I'm sure that people had died and they were there. And then after he died, like the thief on the cross, they went there. Had died during the period of Jesus Christ's life on earth, which includes, by the way, John the Baptist. And next, resurrection of Jesus Christ resulted in the transferring of all the believers in paradise into heaven. Ephesians 4:8. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, Old Testament saints, and gave gifts to men. Also, you can read Matthew 27:51-53. Paul explains that after death believers in the church age go to paradise, but this is a paradise that is in heaven. This is a paradise in heaven. Don't confuse that paradise with paradise of Abraham's bosom. 2 Corinthians 12:2-4. Let's close tonight by looking at 2 Corinthians 12, because this will take us to Roman numeral 6. 2 Corinthians 12. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, he's talking about himself, I do not know, or out of his body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. This is Paul. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up into paradise. This is a paradise that has been moved from Sheol, or down in the center of the earth, to heaven, and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. When he says a man, is referring to himself. He never recorded what he saw, what he heard, what happened when he went into the third heaven. We simply do not know. That brings us to Roman numeral 6. So we'll start here next, next Tuesday night we'll not have class. John and Dan and I will be at the pre-trib conference. And, I'm sorry? Yeah, Tuesday and Wednesday, yes. Tuesday and Wednesday. And so we'll pick it up here Tuesday night week. Okay. Any questions on what we covered tonight? You can kind of go over your notes and let me know. A new resurrected body. Yeah, he creates a whole new body. It's a different material. Looks the same. Fingers and all that. And the countenance be discernible. We'll all have our... I'm sorry. You won't be the weight you are if you're not pleased with it, but you'll have the same mug. So that's just it. So get used to it. And but the body will be a resurrected body completely. It'll be able to go through material, be able to move horizontally, vertically, through all the way up to third heaven and back, all this. Okay. Okay, let's close in prayer. Wow, this is so exciting, Father. Thank you so much for sharing these things with us. Thank you for letting us know the reality of these things. We're not unbelievers, so we have no fear of any of these things. We rejoice how you've got all these things worked out, how wonderful it's going to be. Even the very moment we die, the second we die, it's going to be so exciting to make that transfer face to face with Jesus Christ in the paradise above. Father, we praise you. We don't know what the paradise of Abraham's bosom was like. I have really no idea, except we know that it was marvelous, fantastic. So, Father, we just praise you. the God you are, that you've worked out all these things and you've let us know. Father, we thank you for this book. It is so different than any book on earth. None of the religious books of the earth deal with so much vivid information, so many details. How the world can't see that this is a special book is beyond me. Thank you for it, Father. Let us return again to open it up and see more and more of your wonders. We praise you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.